pray. Father, we thank you once again for today, for, Lord, just for getting us here and how amazing it is, that God, as we just lift up our hearts and begin to focus on you, how, Lord, everything kind of changes. And Lord, I thank you. I thank you that as we praise you and worship you, that God, you meet us in those moments and those times. And I do pray that you would just continue working in our lives and our hearts as we read and study. And Lord, I think especially as we just kind of get a little bit personal with Paul today and get a glimpse into really what moved him and what motivated him to do the things he did, Lord, I pray that, again, that would influence our hearts. And Lord, that even maybe by the end of the time today, that we would be drawn into what it is and where it is you want us to serve you and Lord, the things you want us to do. So bless this time, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, as we continue here, remember last week we kind of looked at Paul. He's doing the introduction to the book of Romans and gave his name, kind of gave a little bit who he's writing to. Now we kind of get into a little personal dialogue or monologue, I guess, with Paul, looking at him personally. And you know, the thing I like about this, and then we will look at the theme of the letter, but what I love about this is it shows us what motivated Paul. Because I believe people serve the Lord for a lot of different reasons. And some of the reasons aren't good. Some people serve the Lord out of just manipulation. Someone guilt-tripped them into serving and puts a trip on them and kind of, come on, why aren't you doing this? And you know, if you're serving from that motivation, here's what's going to happen. You're going to burn out. You're not going to make it. You're not going to, you know, you're not going to go to the end. And that's not good. Some serve just out of peer pressure. You know, somebody else is serving. They're looking at you going, why aren't you serving? How come you're not doing what I'm doing? And, you know, if you were really spiritual, here's what you would be doing. And once again, you serve with that motivation, you're going to burn out. Some serve because they think it might get them a position or a little bit of prestige. They maybe get an usher's badge and everybody notices them. No offense, ushers, but listen. And then everybody goes, whoa, you must be an usher. You must be important around here. And we serve for that reason. No one here does that, by the way. No one in this ministry. But listen, and then eventually, too, that is not going to work out well for you. So I believe often we should check our hearts while we're serving. And even in the midst of serving, I think we kind of continually need to do a little heart check and examine ourselves and see what's going on. What did motivate Paul, you know, as we look at this section especially, what motivated Paul into doing what he did? Well, you know, I think one of the first things we see is Paul ministers and as he serves here, one of the very first things he talks about is mutual encouragement. You see, Paul received as much as he got when he served, and he understood that, and he knew that, and that even motivated him to serve more. And then another thing, and this might sound a little weird, but we'll explain it, there was a sense of debt that Paul had. And we'll explain that. Not a debt to people, but there was a sense of debt. And I'm just going to kind of leave it there so you guys will stay awake all morning till we get, because that's towards the end, and you'll be paying attention. What did he mean by that? And then, listen, and then I think the other thing that really motivated him is Paul understood the power of the gospel of Christ. He understood that. He knew that. That was in his heart. That was in his DNA. That's what made him as a Christian. And then over the umbrella over all of that is Paul loved Jesus. And listen, so as we look at this man, again, I think it's great to look at him because something you and I need to know, Paul was just like us. He wasn't a super saint. He wasn't a superhero. He was just like us. He was a person just like us that God got a hold of, and God began transforming his life, and he began believing God and going in that direction. And you know what? I believe every single one of us can have, at the end of our lives, the satisfaction that Paul had in serving the Lord if we simply yield ourselves to the Lord and follow him. So look at this. We left off last time as he's talking to the church and saying, I write to all in Rome. Then listen, verse 8, he says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken throughout the whole world. Now, I like reading J. Vernon McGee. I just like to read him. I like to listen to him too, but I like reading him more than listening to him because he always says, friends, you know, and kind of, you know, does that thing. But you know, whenever you listen and do this, and every time I read a section where, especially here where Paul says, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. I hear J. Vernon McGee saying this, first I thank Jesus Christ for y'all. And then he says, God was a Texan, because he says y'all. And, you know, every time I just hear him doing that. But listen. Paul says that he thanks his God for those people. Hopefully you know, Paul didn't know most of these people. They're strangers to him. He knew a handful of them. Read the end of the letter. There was just a handful of people there in Rome he knew. I think it's 16 that he references at the end of the letter. Don't do it right now. But listen. And he didn't know most of these people, but what is he doing? He's thanking God because here's what he knows. God is working in their lives. And he thanks. And here's what I love about the way Paul does this. He says, I thank my God. You see, Paul, no doubt, great theologian. It's where we get most of our theology, is out of the letters of Paul. Tremendous, tremendous mind for the things of God. But you know what? God was very, very, very personal to Paul. And he should be personal to all of us. Theology is great, but theology should drive us closer to God as it does Paul. I love that. I thank my God. Listen, because he's personal, he's got that in-depth relationship through Jesus Christ for you all. And then here's what I love, man. He says that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Now, listen, we know this is a little bit of, you know, literary hyperbole. He's not talking about every corner of the globe. He's talking about the known world at that time, or maybe even Paul's sphere of travel. And he's saying, listen, but here's an interesting thing. When you think of all of the places Paul went, when you look at all of Asia Minor and the places he went, here's what he said. Every place I go, people are talking about the Christians in Rome. And I thank my God that they're talking about, now check out what they're talking about. They're talking about their faith. They're not talking about, listen, they're not going around going, man, those guys are so holy. They're going, their faith. That's going to become important when we close up today. So pay attention. They're talking, and he goes, your faith is known throughout the whole world. I love that idea. Don't you wish that your faith would be known of throughout the whole world? That the faith here, even, it would be cool if people all over the world were talking about this fellowship. And the one thing they said about this fellowship, they talked about our faith. Man, I read that, and here's what I think. If you were there that morning, or that evening, or that afternoon, whenever they got this scroll, and they opened it up, and you're reading it, and you read the first part, it's pretty cool. You're getting a letter from Paul, and your church, and Paul is writing. You remember, this wasn't a book of Romans at that time. It was a letter, and you're reading it, and all of a sudden, you read that Paul says, I thank my God through Jesus Christ, because throughout the whole world, they're talking about you guys. They're talking about your faith. Man, that would like send you over the top, wouldn't it? It would be just time to stop and worship for a while, right? Woo! Look what's happening, you know, in our church. So listen, Paul starts that way. And then he says, listen, then he says in verse 9, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son, that without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by some means, now at last, I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. So listen what Paul is saying here. Listen, first of all, he tells them, I'm praying for you guys. But notice he says, for God is my witness. Why? He didn't know those guys. They didn't know if he was praying or not. How would they know? He's not even near them. So here's kind of a cool thing. Here's what Paul says. God is my witness that I'm praying for you. Now listen, if you say that God is your witness, you better be doing whatever you're talking about, right? Because he might just like send some lightning or something. And Paul is saying, listen, Paul's saying to that church, God is my witness. He says, God is my witness that he talks about him serving him. We'll talk about that in a minute. But that without ceasing, I'm praying for you guys. You know, if there was a busy person in the world at that time, Paul was pretty busy. Read 2 Corinthians. Read that list of stuff he went through in his life and the perils and the turmoil and everything he went through. By the way, which has happened already. He's been ministering for 25 years. And here's what he says in the midst of all of that. I'm always praying for you guys. You know, it's interesting. Paul says that to a lot of churches that he's praying for them. And, you know, I can imagine he must have just been a man who's just spending time praying as he's walking. You know, you got to get from A to B. And back then you didn't have any other transportation but your feet. So he's walking along. He must have been praying the whole time. He's using, I think, his time very well. And he says, listen, I'm praying for you. Check out these prayers later on. Don't read them right now, but check these out. In Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians, I love to read the prayers of Paul. Because here's something I noticed. Paul's prayers are not really, 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 really long and eloquent. As a matter of fact, two of these prayers are two verses. They're pretty short and pretty to the point because that's what he does. And we can learn the heart of Paul as he does this. So he's saying, listen, first of all, he thanks God for them. Then he says, as God is my witness, whom I serve. Oh, by the way, do you know that Paul, every one of the letters he writes to a church, that he thanks God for those, he shows gratitude for the saints in the church, except one. One, he never says anything. You know which one that is? I would think, listen, if it was me, if I was just thinking off the top of my head, I would think Corinthians, right? Because those guys were a bunch of turkeys. They were like the pastor's nightmare of a church. When you read what Paul says. I would think Corinthians. You know which church Paul doesn't show gratitude for the saints? Galatians. Wow, that's kind of interesting, huh? Little side study. Do you think it's because they had quit following the Lord by faith and started trying to please Him by works? And they had drifted so far away from the truth they first received? So study Galatians on your own. But listen, that's just a little tidbit. But he's thanking God for them. And he thanks them. He says, listen. And then he goes, I pray for you guys continually. And he says, listen, I pray for God as my witness. And he talks about, listen, I serve Him with my spirit in the gospel of His Son. I don't think Paul is talking about some mystical thing going on. I serve Him in my spirit undercover and people don't know. I believe what Paul, bottom line, is saying is, in the spirit, I serve the Lord, right? Not in the flesh. You serve the Lord in the flesh, once again, you're going to find burnout. You're going to find it really quick. Whenever people talk to me about being burned out, here's what I generally find out about them. They're doing what they're doing in the flesh, not in the spirit. Because if anybody should have burned out in ministry, once again, I think it should have been Paul. He's shipwrecked three times. He's beaten. He's stoned. He's all of those things going on in his life. That's a definite formula for burnout. And he never burned out. Why? Because he did it in the Spirit and he serves the Lord. And then he says, listen, I'm making mention for you always in my prayers. And then he says in verse 10, man, even I pray that some way I may be able to come to you. But listen carefully what he says. I really want to go to Rome. Paul mentions that in other letters and he mentions it in this letter. His heart was to get to Rome. He really wanted to go to Rome. But did you notice in verse 10 what he says? He says, listen, I want to get there, but he says that I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. The one thing Paul never wanted to do was get out of the will of God. He wanted to make sure, if I go to Rome, I want God to take me to Rome. And here's what we do know, right? You've read Acts, haven't you? He did get to Rome. He got to Rome. He got an all-expense-paid trip to Rome by the government, right? They arrested him and they took him to Rome. That's one way to get to Rome. So listen, he finally got there, but he says, listen, I want it to be the will of God. I don't want it to be the will of Paul. I think he had a massive desire to get there, obviously, when we read. His heart was to get there, but he also wanted to make sure it was God's will to get there. Now, here's what he's letting them know. Hey, church at Rome, I haven't been there. I've been in ministry for 25 years. I never visited you guys. There's got to be a little bit of a kind of question mark. How come Paul never made it here? This is the capital of the world. This is where everything's happening. Oh, and by the way, this is where Christians are being slaughtered day and night. And maybe there was a little bit of whisper going on. well, Paul doesn't want to come because he doesn't want to die, you know, kind of things. And because, listen, they were slaughtering Christians. Persecution in Rome, in the city of Rome, was horrendous. And so no telling what's going on behind the scenes that we're not privy of, but here's what he says, I do want to come. But I'm only going to come when it's God's will. And you know what? That's important. I knew a guy that went around the world, different places, serving the Lord. But he went for wrong reasons. Way back in the early 80s, he went to Iraq following a girl. And he says, I think God really wants me to go to Iraq. Really? All of a sudden, huh? Yeah. And then he ends up, she leaves, he's in a bomb shelter for 2.5 weeks as they're being bombed because he wasn't following the Lord. Are you getting my point? Don't do something just because, hey, there's a really cute girl and I want to follow her and I'm going to blame it on Jesus or a guy or money or whatever. You get the point? Listen, Paul says, when I come to Rome, I want it to be the will of the Lord. And then, listen, he tells them why. Here's why I'm longing to come to you, verse 11. For, right? Drawing a conclusion. For I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established. You see, Paul says, you guys, I so want to come. I want to come. And listen, as he's talking about imparting a gift, I don't think he's talking about like the laying on of hands and praying for somebody and somebody receiving one of the gifts that he's going to mention in chapter 12 or that are mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. I don't think he's talking about that, although he does say spiritual gift. But I think the gift he wants to impart is the gift that he has, and he wants to go there, use his gift of teaching, impart that to them in such a way that they become established. You see, they needed a solid foundation, right? If you're going to get persecuted, if someone's going to kill you this afternoon, you really need to be grounded in your word, right? You really need to know the Bible so that you can stand and face that persecution. And listen, Paul says, man, here's what it is, you guys. I long to come there. I so desperately want to be there, and I want to be there so I can minister to you, and I want to get you established. So I want to get you firm in what you're doing. I think that is, from my perspective, the heart of every pastor. Why do I do what I do? Because I want people established. I want them equipped to do the ministry that God has called them to do. I do what I do so we can all do what we're supposed to do for the kingdom of God. And that's what Paul is saying. And then look what he says. This is great. Look what he says here. He says, because he might have insulted some maybe, in verse 12, that is, that I may be encouraged, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. You see, what Paul knew is he could still learn from people. And he understood that as he would give, he would receive as much as he gives. And I think anybody, listen, I think anybody, especially those with the gift of teaching, need to understand, listen, they don't have all the answers. They're not the only one with a perspective. And they need to be able to receive from others as much as they're able to give to others. And I just love the humility of Paul. Hey, I want to come there. I want to come there and I want to establish you guys. But here's what I know, man. As I'm establishing you guys, I am going to get ministered to. And I'm going to grow and I'm going to change and I'm going to learn. I do see some people in pulpit ministries who talk to the body as though, oh, you poor guys, if you only knew what I knew, you would be blessed. If you go to a church like that, not good. We're all in this thing together, right? And you know, and I pray that you guys feel that with me, that I'm in this with you. I'm growing and learning and I'm understanding, and you guys give to me, I give to you. We have that mutual, listen, that mutual edification, not just saying nice things, but mutual edification spiritually. So we're growing together. And that's what Paul says, man. I want to come. I don't want to come just because I'm Paul and I'm going to come and I'm going to fix you guys. So I want to come, and I definitely want to share with you guys, but here's what I know, man. You guys got something for me. Don't you love that? Now, wouldn't you love that if you were in Rome and you're reading this whole thing and you're going, woo! Paul thinks I got something for him. That is so cool. I can hardly wait till he gets here because I'm going to give it to him. Right? I just see this man so encouraging, especially to people who are being persecuted. Now, he's not done yet. Listen, we can do this. Verse 13. Now, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. You see, Paul says, man, I want to come because I want to bear fruit. I think the fruit he's talking about bearing is winning people to Jesus, right? Letting people, bringing in people, because I think that should be in the heart of every one of us, but definitely it was in the heart of Paul. Definitely it's in the heart of somebody who's an evangelist. And Paul says, but I like this. He says, listen, I don't want you to be unaware that I often planned to come to you. Paul thought he was going to go to Rome, I think, several times. And every time he went to go to Rome, he was hindered. I don't think he was hindered by the devil. Some people say that. I think he was hindered by the Holy Spirit. I think the Holy Spirit closed doors. You know, some of us, we serve the Lord, and as we're serving the Lord, we kind of get our own little agenda going, and we start going in a direction, and he has to close the door. For some of us, he doesn't just close the door. He's got to put up a brick wall that's about 45 feet high so we don't try and scale it and climb over it and do our own thing. And then a whole bunch of us, we have flat noses, because we keep running into that, poing, poing, you know, and we're trying to do it and trying to get through there. And I think that was Paul. Remember when Paul got called to Macedonia? Remember, he's up in that area of Asia Minor, and he says, well, first I went to go here. Boom, I hit a door. Then I went to go here. Boom, I hit a door. Then I went to go here. Boom, I hit a door. And God just, like, had to close him in, corral him in, and then he only had one place left to go. Oh, let's go to Macedonia. Well, maybe one of those times he's trying to get to Rome, huh? And he goes, but I was hindered. It wasn't time yet. It wasn't in God's timing. And I sort of love that. He's letting them know, I love you guys. I wanted to get there. I'm not really afraid of persecution. But I was hindered every time. But listen, the reason I want to get there is I think there's people in Rome who still need to get saved, right? Just like in Sierra Vista, there's people who still need to get saved, right? And so listen, he says, that's what I wanted to do. And then listen, for I am, here's another motivation here, verse 14. For I am a debtor both to Greeks and barbarians and to wise and unwise. Now here's that thing, wake back up if you fell asleep from the introduction. Here's that debt thing. And Paul says, I'm a debtor. And I don't know if you guys read that and go, what is he talking about? How is he a debtor? Does he owe those people something? No, that's not what he's saying. You see, there's a couple ways you could be in debt, even today. You could go borrow money, right? You go borrow money, you're in debt. You owe, if I loan you $1,000, you're in debt to me for $1,000, plus interest. So you're in debt to me. You owe me $1,000. Or how about this? What if I walked up to you and I said, here's $1,000, take this $1,000 and give it to, and I name somebody, go give it to them. Now you are in debt to that person because you owe that person that $1,000 that I told you to go give it to. Are you tracking with me? Listen, and Paul, what was Paul given? The gospel of Jesus Christ. Why was he a debtor to the Greeks and barbarians and the wise and the unwise? Because he was given something that he needed to give them. And that's the gospel. And here's what Paul says. Here's what I love. Listen, number one, that debt is the gospel that he owes them. And I love, he covers the entire spectrum of people, especially speaking to people in Rome. Listen, he says, I'm in debt to Greeks and to barbarians. Now, that's a pretty heavy term. I think some of the other translations try and water it down a little bit. He meant barbarians. And in their mind, listen, in the mind of the people of Rome that day, you were either Greek and cultured, or you were a barbarian. You were the bleh, right? And here's what Paul lets them know. I don't come just for the cultured, high class, social people. I come for everybody. I come for the Greek and the barbarian. And then I love this. I come for the wise and the not so wise, right? In other words, here's what Paul says. I'm a debtor to every man, every person. Doesn't matter who they are. That's what he knew. That's the thing that drove Paul. He was given a gift called the gospel of Christ. We're going to see that in a moment. And he owed that to everybody, no matter what their social level was, no matter what their educational level was, no matter who they were, he was going to go and he says, listen, man, I want to come and do that. Verse 15, so as much as is in me, I'm ready. Do you like that? I love that, man. Here's what I'm thinking. You're reading this letter and you're going to look up and see if Paul's there yet. Right? Because everything within me, as much as is in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. Man, all I want to do is get to Rome. That's Paul's motivation. Again, kind of strange. 25 years and he's not made it to Rome. And it seems like Rome was on his heart the entire time. So that's Paul's introduction. He finally introduces, he takes 15 verses to let them know who's writing, to let them know who he's writing to, then this personal commentary, just so, and I think it was important for them. They didn't know Paul, and they needed to know his heart. They needed to know why he was so passionate about them and why he was, you know, passionate about writing them, what was motivating him. He surely wasn't there to gain from them. He was there to give. Now comes the theme of the entire Book of Romans. The next two verses give us the theme that the whole rest of the book is going to develop and explain to us. Most of us know verse 16. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Those are two good verses to memorize. They're good to just kind of hide in your heart. Now, here's what Paul is letting these guys know. First of all, here's what he's telling them. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why would Paul even bring that up? Have you ever asked yourself, why do you even bring that up? Because if he brought it up, does that mean he could have been ashamed of the gospel? Because now he's letting them know, no, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Was there a little bit in him that maybe could happen that he would be ashamed of the gospel? Here's what I think. Absolutely. Why do I think that? Because Paul was like us. Are you ever tempted to be ashamed of the gospel? Don't nod your head. Of course we are. We get put in circumstances and situations, and there are times, listen, I know there are times in every person's life in here where there's a hesitation, and there's that trying to deal with it. Do I share? Do I not share? What is I do? You know, and listen, and so here's what Paul was just like us. And think of where he was going and who he was talking to. They were taking Christians and they were feeding them to the lions. They were sewing them up in skins, animal skins, and just tossing them out there and watching the lions just tear them apart. They were putting them on poles and lighting them on fire for torches at night. Listen, that, I don't know about you guys, maybe you guys are all that, but I think that would make me a little hesitant. Should I share the gospel today? Well, I don't know, man, you ready to die? Well, I guess it's a good day to die, because any other day, hey, if we're really honest, let's be real. If we're really honest, there are times we don't share the gospel because we don't want somebody saying something bad back to us. We're not even facing getting lit on fire. So listen, Paul lets them know. I think he's letting them know, letting us know. He has that same battle. And here's what he says, man, I am not ashamed of the gospel. That's not why I'm not there yet. It's not because I'm ashamed of the gospel. And then, listen, then he says it so clear and so well. Listen, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? For it is, listen, it is the power of God to salvation. Hallelujah. You know, listen, man, when he says that, here's what Paul says. Because I think a lot of people in general, when we think of the power of God, we want to see the Red Sea thing, right? Part the Red Sea, that shows the power of God. Or how about raising the dead? That shows the power of God. Here's what Paul says. You want to see the power of God? Share the gospel. Share the gospel because that is the power of God. Wow, don't you just kind of love thinking about that? Listen, if nothing else would motivate you, that should motivate you. It's the gospel that is the power of God to salvation. It is the thing. Listen, if there's one thing that the people in Rome needed, it's the same thing that the people in the 21st century need. They need their lives changed. And there's only one way to change a life, and that is with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, why does he say gospel of Christ? Why does he say that? Well, because in their generation, gospel was a term that was used quite frequently. Yes, it meant good news, but the Caesar would say, I have a gospel for you. My son was born today. Listen, I have good news. So listen, he's letting them know it's not just gospel general. It's the gospel of Christ. It's the fact that Jesus Christ came, lived a sinless life, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died on the cross, was buried, and rose again on the third day. That's what we're talking about. And that's what Paul wanted to share. And that's what he's not ashamed of, because that is the power of God to salvation. I think salvation is used over 20 times in this letter. So we might, be familiar. You might understand. When he's talking about salvation, he's talking about a life that is radically changed. Hey, for homework, do this. Google the first century Rome. And then Google some first century Rome philosophers. And see what the philosophers were saying at that time. You know, one philosopher, here's what he said. Rome is a cesspool. Wow, sounds like a great place to move to, huh? Obviously, he wasn't on a reality board. Listen, and the things that they were into, study what first century Rome was into. The stuff going on morally in that city makes what goes on in our city, or not just our city, our country, our world, kind of tame. Stuff was going on, and listen, if you look at that, here's what you find out. People needed their lives changed. They needed change. And that is salvation. And the thing that does it is the gospel. I love this. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. Oh, but here's the kicker. Listen to what he says. For everyone who believes. You see, it's the power of God, but you got to believe it. If you don't believe it, it's not going to do anything in your life, correct? Hey, you can hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it, but you got to act on it. How many of I got saved later in life. And I remember when I got saved, I remember thinking, no one ever told me this before. No one ever shared the gospel with me before. Well, you know what? I watched Billy Graham on TV. He's a little guy. I'm sure he shared the gospel, right? You guys are looking at me like, you guys know who Billy Graham is, right? You're like looking at me with a blank look. Listen, I know that I heard it, but I didn't hear it. You with me? But when I believed it, the power of God radically transformed me. Because the gospel is the power. I put my faith in it. I believe. Listen, I didn't just believe a set of rules and regulations and et cetera. As a matter of fact, I didn't get saved in a church. I got saved outside of a church and didn't go to a church for a long time. But listen, I wasn't joining anything. I was putting my faith in the gospel of Christ. And when you put your faith in the gospel of Christ, when you trust that, believing is more than just mental assent. You're trusting it. You know, I knew when I put my faith in that, I knew that moment I was going to hell. I knew that. I was sure of that. And I thought, okay, I'm trusting this. I surely hope this is the right thing to do. I'm going to put my faith in this. And I put my faith in Christ, the gospel of Christ. So listen, Paul says it's for those who believe. And then he kind of wraps it up a little bit here. He says for the Jew first and also for the Greeks. Some people get upset over that. You know, it's interesting. I'm reading a lot of commentaries on Romans this time because I'm trying to get a little broader perspective on some of the things. And not so much here. There's not that much theology, but I want to study some of the other areas. So I'm reading a pretty broad thing. And some of these guys, some of the old guys, the old dead guys that have been dead for a long time, man, some of those guys, they just go on and on and on and on and on. Like, why were the Jews first? And I'm thinking, it's pretty obvious to me why they were first, because Jesus was a Jew. That's why. That's not real complicated to figure out. Right? Jesus even said, I came for the lost house of Israel. And you know what? If you're upset because you're second, you take that up with God when you get to heaven. Where did Paul go every time he went to share the gospel? When he went into a city, where did he go? He didn't go to the city park. He didn't go to the marketplace. Where did he go? Synagogue. Every time. And that's all he's saying. Listen, he doesn't say you don't get the gospel. He says you just get it after the Jews. And again, if you have a problem with that, that's your problem.
you take it up with God. So listen, as I think about this and looking at this, here's you know, Paul is saying, man, this is the power of God for salvation for everyone believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. There was a few years ago, it's several years ago, someone in the fellowship here, they were teaching at Veritas Christian School, and they were teaching little guys. And I think it was like first, second grade, and the little guys had to memorize Romans 1:16. And this little guy came and he recited it. One of the teachers came here to Calvary and he recited it to her. And here's what he said. He says, you know, Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jews first and also for the geeks." I just love that, man. I love the idea, man. This little guy wanted even geeks to get saved. How cool is that, man? He was like rooting for him. Yeah, we got to get those geeks on board, you know? So every time I read this, I think, yeah, Jesus even loves geeks. So listen, now Paul got to develop this a little bit further. Listen, now he says, For I'm not ashamed, drawing a conclusion of I am a debtor, right? Now, for I'm not ashamed, and for, here's more of that statement of purpose, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, this is a little bit complicated. I don't think it's as complicated as some made it. I read one guy for almost 200 pages on just this section. Not even the last part of the verse, the first part of the verse. And I got done and I said this, my brain hurts, man. I am tired. I can't like think with those guys, you know. I'm thinking like, tone it down a little bit, bring it down. I started out believing one thing. I read him and went through this, you know, huge long path and going everywhere and got to the end. And he agreed with me. I thought, I could have saved like 2.5 hours. Just all this time I spent just like going there. So listen, I don't think it's real complicated. Here's an important thing, though. I don't think he's talking about the character of God when he says the righteousness of God is being revealed from faith to faith. For this reason, I think if we were revealing the character of God, I think it would say, for in it the righteousness of God is being revealed from heaven. Because that's where God resides. So I don't think, and I know in the gospel, because the it is the gospel, I know in the gospel we understand the righteousness of God because we can understand how he's just and justifier and all of those things that he's going to talk about throughout Romans. But I don't think that's his point here. I believe his point here is all about the power of the gospel to change lives. And when he says, listen, for in it the power of God is revealed from faith to faith, it could even say, listen, for in it, I'm sorry, the righteousness, not power, for in it the righteousness from God might be a better way. And some of your translations say that. The righteousness from God is being revealed from faith to faith. Because here's what happens when you trust Christ. When you put your faith in the gospel, here's what happens. The righteousness of God becomes your righteousness. Do you understand that? That's what the Bible teaches. His righteousness, he imputes, that's a big word for the fact that we could say it this way, he sticks his righteousness on us. How cool is that? Because it's not by our own righteousness, saints, that we're going to get to heaven ever, ever. It's his righteousness is imputed to us. And in the gospel that has the power of God, that his righteousness is then given to us or imputed to us or put on us, from faith to faith. We can interpret that a couple different ways too. Again, lots of writing on that. From faith to faith could mean from one person sharing it by faith, shares it to the next person, right? An apostle Paul shares it to somebody, or I share it to somebody because I believed it by faith. Now I'm sharing it to somebody. Faith to faith. Could be that. I'm not so sure, but it could be, and I think it's kind of like this. Some of your translations say this, from faith first to last. In other words, you begin with faith, you end with faith. You don't change. You don't change in the middle of the road. You don't start walking by faith and then all of a sudden say, well, since I have the righteousness of God, I am going to be so righteous. Not. So, and then, listen, I believe that's more it, because what does he say? Listen, he says, for as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Listen, as he's talking to us and sharing with us and saying, the just shall live by faith, that's Habakkuk. Or Habakkuk, depending on how you want to say his name. Listen, and some of you are going, who on earth is that? That's one of the minor prophets. Habakkuk 2:4 is what he's quoting. Now, here's an interesting thing. Paul also quoted it in Galatians, and the author of Hebrews also quoted the same exact verse, that the just shall live by faith. That's a pretty powerful verse, so you might want to go read Habakkuk or Habakkuk. You might want to go check that guy out. If you're unfamiliar with that section of your Bible, it's a section after Psalms and Proverbs and some of the big prophets and before you get to Matthew. There's a bunch of guys in there that had some powerful, powerful things to say, which, by the way, a little bit of advertisement on Thursday nights as we're going through Kings, we're going to go to the prophets and kind of tie them in to the times of Kings so we can kind of get a chronological idea on what's going on the whole time. Now, back to this. Listen. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Or by faith, the just shall live. You kind of getting what's going on here? Listen, the only reason we can be just is because we put our faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. Period. Period. I don't care how good you are. The only way you can be just is by putting your faith in Jesus Christ. The just shall live by faith. So here's what Paul is saying. I was just going to quote it again. Listen, he's just saying, listen, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? Because it's the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. First for the Jew, then for the Greek. Because in it, the righteousness from God is being revealed from faith to faith. Because it is written, the just shall live by faith. Are you kind of picking up on that? Listen, we're going to spend the rest of Romans talking about these two verses. We're going to find out about why it went to the Jews first in 9, 10, and 11. We're going to find out what salvation is all about over and over. We're going to find out why there's a need for salvation. So Paul here writes to us, or them, here's what I'm going to write about. Now get ready, and we're going to blast off. So here's my question to us today. Number one, if you're serving God, if you're not serving God, why? That's number one. Give an answer. If you're serving God, why? Give an answer. Not to me. You don't have to answer to me. You don't have to come up and tell me, well, that's a bad, here's what's going on. This is between you and God. If you're not serving God, talk to God about it. Why aren't you serving God? Number two, if you are serving God, why are you serving God? And then there's some here today. We just talked about the gospel and the power of the gospel changing lives. And you're here this morning and you've never made a decision for Christ. Today's the day to do it. You're not here by accident, man. Somebody invited you. They set you up for this very thing. I don't know if they did or not. I don't know if they read ahead or not. But listen, you're here. Why? Well, somebody did set you up. He's God. And he wants you to hear the truth. And it's the gospel. Listen, if you're tired of your life, if you're tired of being ripped off by the things that rip all of us off, that promise so much and empty us of everything, if you're tired of that, and most importantly, if you want to get right with God and have a relationship with the creator of the universe, today is the day to believe the gospel. Let's stand up and pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you that, God, we have this, quote, introduction from Paul into the book of Romans. And Lord, just being able to observe and look at this man and what makes this man tick. And I pray that maybe that would work in our hearts and motivate us. And I pray we would understand. There's some things we're going to just have to wait for because it's not time yet. Some of us are eager, and we're going to have to wait and on your will and wait for you to open doors. Some of us, the door's wide open. We need to walk through it. And God, that we would get that great understanding of the fact that you want to use us in the lives of individuals, in the lives of men and women around us. And God, that there's going to be such a blessing coming out of that. So Lord, I pray that those who are a little hesitant on serving and a little hesitant on stepping out, that you would draw them and work in them right now. And for others that are in a big hurry, that you'd give them patience. But most of all, God, that we would take your gospel, this thing that drove and motivated Paul was
in him, in his DNA as a Christian. Lord, that you would make that part of our DNA, and we would go out into the highways and the byways and share what we know about you. And I'm going to ask you to stay in an attitude of prayer for another minute or two. And if you're here today and you're that one or two or three that I talked to that you've never made that decision for Christ, today is the day. I'm just going to challenge you that you make that decision. The Bible's very clear. Listen, the gospel is this very simply, that you're a sinner and the wages of sin are death. And that's what you owe. And listen, I'm not calling you anything that every single one of us in here aren't. All of us in here are sinners. We've all sinned. But the Bible says, listen, the wages of that is death. And then here's the good news. That's the bad news. The good news is Jesus Christ came and died. He took your place, took your punishment on himself, and he died on a cross, rose again on the third day to prove that that payment was paid in full. And now he asks you to put your faith in that, to believe that. And if you do that today, you will be changed. And you will go from dark to light. You will go from a life that's death to a life that's full of life. So if you want to do that, I'm going to say a prayer. And I'm just trying to help you verbalize maybe what's going on in your heart. And I'm going to ask you to say this prayer with me. You can say it out loud. You can say it silently. It's not volume that matters. It's your heart. But you need to be sincere. Jesus, today I recognize that I am a sinner. And I'm sorry that I sinned against you. And right now, standing here, I know that I need forgiveness. I know that I need salvation. So I'm asking you to forgive me. I'm asking you to save me. Jesus, thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for dying for my sin. And thank you for giving me your righteousness right now. And today I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. If that's the cry of your heart and you said that prayer or something like it and you meant it sincerely, I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand so we can recognize you and pray for you and just encourage you. Anyone in here this morning? Greatest decision you'll ever make. I see yours over here on the right. God bless you. Over here on my left. God bless you. Anyone else? Great decision. Father, I thank you for those individuals, those hands that went up. Lord, we thank you for anyone who said that prayer. And I pray right now, God, that you would reveal yourself to them. That they would understand the depth of your love. And right now, in this place, the greatness of your forgiveness. That by your blood you wash away all of the guilt and the shame. And you take that and it's gone. And right now in this moment, they've been set free from that bondage of sin. They no longer have to sin. They're set free from the bondage of death. And Lord, today, you have imputed to them, given to them your righteousness. That from this moment on, they can walk in that righteousness. Encourage and strengthen them. Give them, Lord, the joy of your salvation. And for all of us, Lord, work in us and through us. And God, we so want to bless you with our lives. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And let's celebrate with those who made a decision.